Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. I've got two very strong, powerful females with me today, and they really know their stuff. And between the three of us, we hope we can bring you some concepts, some wisdom from God's Word to apply to whatever situation you're going through. If you want to join us on the phone, it's 1-800-229-3000. But every time we're answering a phone call, we're not just answering from the perspective of the caller, but we know you're listening too, even if you're not calling. So, and that's why we hear people say, I try to apply what you say to my life, and it makes a difference. But the phone number today, 1-800-229-3000. Becky, glad to have you in the studio
always
here.
Always happy to be here.
Yeah, and Alice, great to have you always. Alice, some people say now, you know, we used to say John Townsend was the only Christian on the program. Now we say Alice is. But what we're saying there is, Alice has a very deep spiritual base, foundation for all that she does in therapy. Well, everybody does.
I was going to say, the rest of us are kind of flighty.
No,
but just you, Alice. That's
but it really is so apparent in her work.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, I wish I could go into everybody's home that had a problem marriage, trouble marriage, and convince you to call us right now and come join us in Columbus, Ohio this weekend. It starts on Friday. It ends Sunday around noon. And in that time frame, we're going to experience some major, major changes for marriages. Some people come, they just want a better marriage. It's not horrible, but maybe it's kind of gotten stuck into some stuff. And other people, you know, we've said it many times, they want out, but they're willing to do one last thing.
And, you know, it's not even a retreat.
No.
I think a lot of times people think of marriage retreats. This isn't a retreat. It's actually an advance that we're going to teach you some tools and some skills. We're going to create places where you can connect. Maybe for the first time, we've had those testimonies where people have said, this is the first time we've had a conversation.
Yeah. And here is what we hear people say when we talk about this weekend. Oh, well, I did this weekend thing for marriage, so we've already done that. This is very, very different than anything you've ever done. And let me tell you why. Because we bring in these therapists, these Christian counselors from all over the country, and you hear a speaker, and then you go in and you do the work. So I can't encourage you more. Don't pass up this opportunity, especially if you're in driving distance. I'm going to drive over there here from Indiana to Columbus, and it's just going to be one amazing weekend. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There's some scholarship money available. We can help you. It really could be the beginning of a whole new way of life and a whole new marriage for you.
You know, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, please.
I could do a long commercial on workshops, but, you know, we're getting to the end of 2019, and so many of our listeners were thinking in January, we're going to go to a workshop this year.
Yeah.
And maybe it was the marriage workshop. It might have been Every Man's Battle or Restore. But you know what? There's time. We've got an Every Man's Battle. We got two of them coming up.
Right.
And we've got Restore in November. So don't let 2019 end without making that choice.
The other thing is, you may not need a workshop. You can call us for anything. We've got a lot of resources. But don't let money stand in your way. We'll try to find a way to help you if finances are needed. And that number to call is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Be on our program, and we're going right to these calls right after this. It's 1-800-229-3000. We are glad you're with us here today. We've got some great, great things to talk about here today. And I want to talk to you about what difference does it make to be a Christian in your life, in your marriage, in your family. Maybe it needs to make a little bit more of a difference
right.
than it is. That'd be good. All right, we'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yep, we're back. Glad you're with us here today on New Life. We love having you here in the studio with us on the air, your phone calls and us. And right now we're going to talk with, well, let's go to Ann. Santa Ana, California, listens on KKLA. Hi, Ann. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call today.
Certainly.
I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to get through it here.
Okay.
My question for you is, what is my role or responsibility, if any, with interaction with my ex-husband in regards to myself and our two teen and preteen children?
Well, okay. And so, what's the situation like?
Well, I divorced him not too long ago. We were married for 14 years, and we have history of verbal and some physical abuse. And then the last 3 years of our marriage, he started using methamphetamine, and he became very violent. And so I had to remove him from the house and the children. And he's still using on and off, and he wants mm-hmm. to contact us and the children. And I just feel that it's unhealthy. And I feel guilty yeah. for cutting him off, but his behavior is very unhealthy.
Okay. So, I think most folks would say if you can have the father involved, that's great. And I think most folks that really know what they're talking about would say that the divorce is extremely painful on children. They are wounded or traumatized from it, and an angry, scary father who might be on some kind of drugs or not recovering could make that trauma even worse. Mm-hmm. So what you want is you want to try to facilitate connection, but in a healthy way. So it seems to me that anybody that would be involved, a counselor or someone, would be supportive of, he needs to prove to you that he's not using, that he's in control of himself, that he's on a healthy path. And until he is, any kind of visitation with them would always be supervised, and maybe even after that. But let's start with you, Alice. What do you think? I mean, here's a dad saying he wants to be involved, but she has evidence he's still using.
And, yeah, and his behavior does not match. And one thing I will add, he has sent some very rude texts to his children, like, F you, kid, I hate you. And he told okay. the daughter that he is no longer her father. And then he'll come back, you know, weeks later and feel guilty. And I don't think they should be exposed to that.
And this is so upside down. You are not supposed to be in a position of having to protect your children from the man who's supposed to be a protector to them. So that you would feel mixed emotions and guilt and some doubt about what you're doing is completely natural. you have already made some of the most difficult decisions in having him leave and separating him from the children. And unfortunately, that's still your role, to be the protector against his unhealthy behavior and to be even the filter and the risk evaluator. If, as long as you're seeing these red flags and he's not showing you that he's getting help and making changes and proving that by feedback from other people, you're doing exactly the right thing in keeping your children protected from him.
So here's the thing that I heard you say too, Anne. The thing I heard you say is that you feel guilty. And so that happens a lot of times when we've been in relationship with people who struggle with addiction. And so I'm wondering, have you been able to do your own recovery so that when those feelings of guilt come up, as you're kind of doing what Alice is talking about, that you'll know what to do with those feelings of guilt?
Yes, I've been doing intense group therapies for the last 2 years to keep myself strong, so I don't let him back in and put up boundaries, because I dealt with it for 14 years and I didn't want to live that way anymore. And I do see some at-risk behavior of my son, who's a teenager, and I feel like I need to devote my time there.
Okay, so is there anybody that is telling you you should give him more access to them?
No.
Okay. Just well, here's something I would think about. I would think about blocking all of his text to your kids. And then you tell him if you want them to receive a text from you, given what's happened before, he texts you, and you'll pass them on if they're appropriate.
Good idea.
So that'd be one thing.
Okay.
The other thing is that you would send him a letter that would say you're not going to be able to see the kids unless you're clean and sober and in recovery, because it's really a problem for us. So that's all on the protection side. And you let him know that you would love for him to have a healthy relationship with the kids. But here's the other thing. Now you've got to do the positive work with the kids to fill in where he isn't. So you want to be sure that they've got other adults in their lives that are loving them or caring for them, input with them. They need to be involved in whatever church groups you can get them in. Sports, community groups, things they're interested in. But if you just eliminate the negative influence of dad, you're still at a deficit with these kids that need so much more than that, right?
I agree. Yep, and I'm working on that. And easier with my daughter, big challenge with my son. So.
And
how old is your son again?
15.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is he involved in any kind of group? Is he interested in sports or hobbies, music, anything like that?
Nope. All he wants to do is skateboard and hang out with the wrong crowd. We do attend church. He does go with me. I have been putting measures in place with a good adult role model. I've scheduled to have him picked up once a week with him, and so we can open communication. And maybe I'm thinking about a life recovery group that has a teen part.
That'd
as
be
well.
Great.
So
yeah. And the other thing is to contact the person that's in charge of youth ministry there and say, I've got a dilemma. I don't expect you to fix it, but let's talk about it and see if there is some way that maybe my 15-year-old would want to be involved in some part of what the church is doing other than me dragging him to church. And just maybe some kind of insight will come from that discussion.
Good job, Ann.
Yeah. You're doing the right stuff. Stay on track. And once again, every time you tell your husband what he cannot do, be sure you include in that message that you are supportive of him being healthy and being a healthy influence in their lives and that you want the relationship. Just be sure every message has that, but you want him to be in a good place because the kids are really struggling.
Steve, when we're separated like this as parents, it's also it's good for us to pull out the fears and the hurts that our children are experiencing. So to go to them and say, this can be scary that dad's not around and we don't know what's happening with him, and we can talk about that, bring that up with me. That's a good invitation to children.
Well, and whenever there is a message like the one we just heard about, that's something you have to have a long talk about, that this is, you know, this has nothing to do with you. This is not what was intended in your life. You deserve better. And help them to start to grieve the loss early on of a parent that was supposed to be supportive but is not. All right, 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number. Let's go to Katrina. Portland, Oregon listens on the internet. We're glad that she does. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. I'm a new listener of a few weeks, and
hey,
I have
welcome.
A marriage question for you. Just in general, how can you? What would be the best thing to help me in my marriage? I'm in a situation where my husband is kind of a shut down kind of personality when we try to talk. I'm kind of an intense personality where I want to work things out. He's super, super, super seems fragile and sensitive. And I guess over the 27 years we've been married, I didn't really realize how super sensitive he was. And then we had I'm separated right now because he allowed a mold situation to happen in our house over a period of 10 years. And so now I'm living with friends, and we just started marriage counseling with pastors that we don't know that well or anything, and they're not, you know, clinical psychologists or anything. But you know, just trying to help the marriage. I think it's really fragile. We both decided recently that we're committed. We're going to see this thing through, but we just don't know emotionally how deep both of us can get with the help that we have. We're just beginning.
Okay.
We're just beginning
really
heal.
Yeah. So here's a question. When you first married him, was he shut down?
You know, we didn't marry in quite the right way. We only waited 10 weeks to marry, and we were trying to honor the Lord and staying sexually pure, and we did, and he wasn't really shut down then. I forgot to add a pretty critical part. I was raised in a very verbal, abusive home, so I have verbally abused through the marriage, though I have worked really, really hard on that, especially in the last, 10 years. But, you know, in this kind of a critical situation, of course, some terrible words have been said.
Katrina,
I said things that, you know.
Katrina, can I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
What is your question?
Yeah.
It sounds like the marriage has been in trouble for a while, and that you recognize that there's some really hard things that you're dealing with. But what can we help you with today?
So my big question is, what books by you guys and Yen would be really helpful for me? What are the best ways that I can just move forward? And part of what I need to move forward in is grief over this, because I don't know when the house will ever be, or if it will ever be healthy for me to move back in. So I constantly feel like I have to make these plans about what am I going to do to be independent? Because, I think we're both sick. We're sick from the mold.
Let me say this. Okay, so the one thing we could do is connect you with somebody in your area that understands How We Love, which is the book that we would probably recommend for you. But I kind of want you to pace this a little bit. Katrina, it sounds like you feel like everything has to be fixed right now. I mean, it feels like a crisis moment, and there are certainly parts of it that are crisis centered, but healing will not happen immediately, and so getting into a good kind of healing process is going to be of just great importance. And I mean, I'd say come to the workshop this week, and I know we're across the country, but I mean, something where you guys are kind of out of the middle of the mess and can really work on beginning that healing process could be a great start.
Katrina, I have had to deal with the mold problem, and so because of that, I know that you can hire a company that will come in, and when they're finished, it's all gone. And sometimes we have to pull out some retirement funds or 401k stuff to get an expense like that done so that we can get the two of you back in the same place. It is not hopeless. There are companies that, I mean, they know how to do this, and they get it done 100%. Second thing I want to say is this.
I know.
I want that we encourage this all the time, that a woman will call out the man and not shut down the man, that she nurtures the quiet man, the calm man, and then calls out the man, the adult man. Sometimes you have to nurture the little boy inside the man to be able to call out the man. What happens is you shut down the man with these insults or this abusive language, and you end up with essentially a dynamic of an angry mom with a scared child. That never makes for a good marriage. And if you're viewed by him as this angry, demanding, abusive woman, well, of course, he's never going to be the man that you're going to be attracted to. And we'll talk more after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I'm going to send How We Love. It's an amazing book, helps you see things from different perspective and how to bring out the best in each other. Also, whenever you have a mole problem, you know, you have to get it out of yourself. I had to go through a detox process for myself. And both of you guys, you might find things are a lot easier if you actually deal with the mold that gets inside of us whenever we have it inside the house.
And Steve, as Katrina was humbly able to admit, she's been verbally abusive, and she came from a verbally abusive home. And it's not unusual that we replicate the horror that we experienced at the hands of our parents. So it will be really important for her to work through a forgiveness process of her own parents, and then a confessional process with her husband of how she's treated him.
Well, I bet he would love to know that she called a radio program to get help, because she doesn't like the way she's being with him and understands the impact that's had, and she wants things to be better. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Karen from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Great. What's going on in your life today?
I have a lovely daughter-in-law I love dearly. My son is in the military. He just returned from a deployment, and now they're to be stationed overseas. And she shared with me the other night that she's very suicidal and can't seek treatment because in the military, it limits your options of where she would not be able to go mm-hmm. with him on this mm-hmm. next thing, and she's already been separated from him a great deal.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a secret problem, and I was so thankful she shared with me.
Yeah. So what do you know what the source of her despair is, other than a difficult marriage?
I absolutely do. I do. It's a mother. Her mother is just very non-accepting of her, and it's a cultural thing. She's Asian. And they'll be returning to the country where the mother is. But the mother, through the years, I know the mother keeps her on the phone and tells her, you know, you were fat when you were two, so I had to sign you up for running. I had to sign you up for ballet because you're so uncoordinated. You have those thick legs because your dad's side. You're more of your father's child.
Do you know her mother?
Your father
doesn't mother?
Love you.
Do you know her mother?
What?
Do you know her mother?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. And what would be the possibility of you saying to her mother, calling her, you know, I really sense that she's in trouble, that it's really tough, and this might be a great time for all of us to encourage her and express any kind of love we could rather than any criticism, any bringing up of anything negative at this particular time, because... Then you might say this, if for some reason we were to lose her, I think all of us would just feel horrible about that. What do you think she would say if you did that?
We have a language barrier. We do not speak the same language. When I say I know her, I've just met her on holidays, and we mm-hmm. have my daughter-in-law as the translator. So
okay.
I'm not capable of talking to her.
Could you send her an email or some sort of, because I know a lot of times with emails they can do a translation, a language translation.
Honestly, I think the mother is ill herself.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me about your son and what
for 5 hours.
What are you talking to your son about that he could do? What are you talking with your son about? How he could help the situation.
Well, I said, are you aware of what happened last week? And, you know, what can be done? And he's like, there's no medical record. She can't get help because she doesn't want to be separated again. If she gets help, then she's not eligible to go.
Well, what about her getting some kind of help outside of the military? Are there any funds available anywhere from her, you know, getting some help?
That's a very good option.
Yeah, I think, Karen, the big thing, I think a lot of times when you have someone that you love that is in such a critical state, it can seem like this is the only path. And I think there's a lot of support that can be offered to your daughter-in-law. I know that the military even has a program that's called MFLAC. I don't know what that stands for, but it's like a first-level support before they have to go to mental health care that would impact you know, any standing or status. But I think even more so, the church, this is where the church can come in, whether it's a life recovery group or, you know, a pastoral counselor, you know, or even one of our network counselors, you know, it doesn't have to be through the military, but she needs support and it's critical.
Yeah, she needs a healthy women's group through a healthy church where she can say the things that she isn't free to say and deal with around military families and things.
And Karen,
but, you know, this isn't the time where we want to limit our resources to what we can afford.
Right.
And there are
covered by insurance. This is not that time.
There are online groups. There's counseling called telehealth that's done through video conferencing. So there are definitely options. And even within our own network of counselors, we can help find someone that may be able to provide that for your daughter. But keep that open invitation to her that she can come to you for prayer and for ongoing support. And I think giving her a copy of Boundaries so that she can start to learn what to do in a loving, healthy way with her own mom to limit that toxicity.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about your son when we come back. And one key factor here that will or will not make a huge difference here. We'll be back.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Karen, a couple of things here. One is you really want your son to be championing the cause of his wife here so that you're not the one most concerned, you know? And if he isn't, then you need to help him kind of deal with that, and maybe he needs to get some assistance there. The other thing is, your daughter-in-law is going to have to decide in the midst of depression that even though it's not easy, even though some of the things that she'd like to do she can't, she's going to be the one that has to decide to go to the next step and get some help rather than struggle, talk about being suicidal, and just survive, because there's a whole other world out there beyond survival. And if I was with her and she came to one of our workshops, she would leave with a belief that she could forgive her mother, accept her mother, grieve the loss of all that horrible stuff with her mother, and put that in a place that doesn't haunt her every day. That's the dilemma. Is we don't grieve the loss of a mother that would have been great. We don't accept the fact that she'll never be great, and then be able to forgive them, accept, and go on with our lives.
And we also get a new picture of who we really are, opposed to listening to the old. And, Alice mentioned during the break, just creating the ability of having boundaries so that there aren't five-hour phone calls. That, you know, she can know that the most loving thing she could do is say, "Mom, I'm going to hang up now." I mean,
and along those lines, a really tough balance is what we were taught was culturally obligated and acceptable versus what's actually healthy
right.
for us and biblically what's required
right.
of us, and they are not always in alignment.
No, that's right. So
this is not just suicidal thinking, though. There was a failed attempt 2 weeks ago, and that's what has me very burdened.
Then she needs to be in care. She needs to be with a counselor, a physician, and like I said, I understand the parameters of the military, but we don't want to risk her life because
Absolutely.
We don't want to, risk our career.
The other thing is
right.
you don't want to be the holder of a secret
right, right.
that ends up causing someone to die.
Right.
And so just like right. when somebody goes to see a therapist, it's all confidential unless the life of another person is endangered or their life is endangered. And so the worst thing in the world is not that the military knows. I mean, she would have been dead. So how right. does that help if it was a valid suicidal attempt, not just something for attention? So I really think any minimization of this, huge mistake, and protecting some kind of ability to move or whatever, everybody's going to be really upset that they did that if she's successful in taking her life.
So the direction I would go, Karen, is you need to tell your son and your daughter-in-law you need to get help, and you need to start that today.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think it's a really, really great book for somebody that's kind of feeling helpless and in despair. And, oh, my goodness, I just ask folks to pray that this wonderful woman will see she is not anything like this horrible mother has made her out to be. Let's go to Sherry, Haymarket, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
What is going on in your life?
Question,
how could we help?
My question is how to move forward after a stepdaughter, which worked for our business, embezzled over $100,000. She's in denial. She denies that she does it, even though we have proof. We have partners that do not want to prosecute. I was very angry when I found that out because we always held our children accountable. But my husband is going to go with the partners and, not prosecute. She has been in jail before for drugs. But right now, I just, Christmas is coming. Do we have a relationship with her if she doesn't apologize and come to repentance? I just don't know how to move forward with her at this point. And she's blaming us.
Okay, quick question. The partners that don't want to prosecute her, are they related to you or your husband?
No, they're not. In fact, I found out that this has happened before in another sister company. For some reason, they don't want the embarrassment. They don't want the publicity. I'm not sure what it is, but it was more money than this. And they didn't prosecute at that point either, this person. So I have found that out since this.
And that was another person.
My husband,
that was another person.
Yeah, another person in another company, but it's the same people that do not want to prosecute. So I just kept saying to my husband, help me understand why we don't hold our children accountable. We always did growing up. What is different now? So now she thinks, they don't have any evidence or they would be prosecuting me. That's what she's thinking because that's what she's telling my daughter.
Okay.
So,
okay, a couple of things. Let me just start this off and then I'll let Alice and Becky give you some insight here. But the first thing is you aren't obligated to act like nothing's wrong when there's something really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
right.
something really
in fact,
wrong
showed
here.
Up at church.
Well, yeah. That's fine.
Let me just
all of that
one
is.
Thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can I interject one thing before?
Yeah.
I was so in shock when all this is very fresh. This happened about 8 weeks ago. And she showed up at church about 4 weeks after it happened. And I still wasn't ready to deal with this. She didn't come and confront us. We didn't confront her. We just went our separate ways. but she's angry because, you know, we ignored her in the house of God. And, you know, I'm getting secondhand information from somebody else. But
well, all right. So here's the main thing, though, all that aside. I'm just wondering if your husband could go to the partners with you, and this would be the message. If we don't prosecute and not have some things that need to be done in order for us not to prosecute, we're essentially enabling her problem, or we could lead to her death by overdose, which is probably what she did with the money, was to buy drugs. And so to ask them, I think it would be really good for us to set some parameters on not prosecuting her, where she would need to get some help, whether that is some minimal counseling or that she get treatment for the drug problem. But perhaps this prosecution issue could become a motivator for her to make some changes. But I do think that one of the worst things that happens for a drug addict is they get away with something and they think that they'll get away with something forever. And then the next time...
I told him that.
They don't.
Mm-hmm. I told him he's going to have somebody else's blood on his hands because she's going to do this to some other company.
Well, yeah, but maybe you don't say... But you tell him, let's try to facilitate a conversation that's not dramatic or whatever, but just asking them to help the two of you help her, and not prosecuting really isn't.
Well, he has the evidence, and he has thought about sitting down with her and showing her the evidence, you know, to produce the truth. Number one, he wants the truth from her, because he can really only prove about,
but,
you know.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be great if when he sat down, he was able to say, here's the evidence, and they're not going to prosecute if you do this, this, and this, but they are going to prosecute if you don't. So that would be my first step there. Becky, Alice, what are you guys thinking?
I'm thinking of what you always say, your favorite proverb. What is it?
When you wink at wrong, you cause trouble, but an open rebuke brings lasting change.
That's right. Yeah. And Sherry, I know that you are hot mad. I hear it. You want justice, and it makes sense. The hard part is that you don't have an agreement with your husband and even with the partners. But there's another thing that Steve says. I sound like a recording. He always talks about, you know, you must hate your daughter so much that you would allow her to continue to do this. And I think your husband's probably defending her as opposed to being able to hear what your alarm is. And you are right on. This is to be concerned. But I also think that the forgiveness part has to start with you as well. Now, that's a long way away, but it might turn down some of the heat so that a process can start. And repayment, I think, you know.
Absolutely.
Making amends, you know.
Nothing wrong with $100 a month,
right.
And it takes 100 years to get it paid back, but you're doing your part. So the intensity from her needs to be ratcheted down to where it really is. We need to bring a good outcome here.
And you might ask for, can we talk with a lawyer? Can we talk with our pastor about this so we get an objective outside opinion? Ask your husband to do that with you.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, Take Your Life Back, coming to you. Hope it helps. And let me send you How We Love for you and your husband to read. I think you'll like it.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realized that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Becky Brown. Done with Alice. Alice, you had a final word for Sherry about that relationship with this daughter who's quite toxic.
Sometimes we need to put healthy distance between us and a family member, which is just awful to have to do, but we need to protect our heart. And so saying something along the lines of, I love you, I'm for you, but I'm really upset by this break in trust, whether you admit to it or not or agree with it or not, I need to take distance for a while. So if I see you in church, I may not be able to acknowledge you for a little while. That's okay to do. It's good to do, and it's actually biblically supported to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm glad you called, and we're going to get you a copy of How We Love for you guys and then Take Your Life Back. I hope that's going to be a blessing. And anybody, you know, if you don't care about money going out of your organization, send it to us. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But first, I want to go to Ivan, San Diego, California. Sirius XM is the station that Ivan listens to. Hey, Ivan, don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call.
Yes, I just want to, I'm challenged because I have a wife who's been diagnosed with NPD and BPD, and we both are Christians, but she continues to push boundaries, and of all the books I've read, I mean, she continues to want to create her harem, and, you know, I'm just having a big issue with trust.
Okay, so she's narcissistic and she's borderline, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, and have you met with whomever it was that gave her those diagnoses?
Yes.
And what does that person say to you?
Well, the issue that I have is he's not a Christian psychologist, although he is an expert in this. You know, he basically is saying that, you know, if I want to continue a relationship with my wife, then I have to accept what she does. But the challenge is, being a Christian, you know, he's basically saying, if, you know, either accept what she's doing or get a divorce. And, you know, that's a difficult decision.
And Ivan,
okay. Well, go ahead.
What does it mean that she's building her harem?
Good question.
It's a term that's used in many books. Basically, she likes, part of her issue is that she wants to have a lot of superficial friends, and superficial male friends that she keeps in contact with. And I just, you know, it goes, I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, of course not. And look, coming from a Christian perspective, and there are two books in this series, Understanding and Loving a Person With, and we'll send you the one on borderline personality disorder and Understanding and Loving a Person Who literally has narcissism in there. But let's try to take the secular message he gave you and talk about that from a Christian perspective. If your wife is a borderline personality disorder, there is something important for you to know, that folks with this, working with the very best professionals, make no progress after 15 years of working with someone. So you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's really a tough situation. Now, there are others that find a way to make some progress. you never want to allow things that aren't right. So you accept the reality that she's got a really tough problem, but you don't accept her wanting to go be with men of the opposite sex and all of that. You accept the fact that there's no quick fix for this, but you don't accept the fact that it can't be manageable or better, and that you can either make it better or you could make it worse. And so that's why we send you the books, and you can work with a clinician to help you find things that make it better and things that make it worse. But I do want that there's something about this where you come to this point of acceptance, where you're no longer in despair every day because this thing doesn't clear up quickly. It sounds like she's really, really a tough case. So I'll let Alice and Becky give you their best on what you can do in this kind of situation.
Ivan, it is really a holy position to take the stand for your marriage of protecting it from emotional infidelity, both with your own behavior of what you will not do with other women, but also what you won't allow or tolerate from your wife. So no matter what she is struggling with on the inside, you can insist that I'm going to be in a marriage that's a pure marriage where we're committed to one another and we're not having our emotional needs met outside of the marriage. So I'm asking you to stop talking with other men, to stop having these relationships and this communication with other men. Now, that may not do anything. She may not be willing to move at all on that position. But if she's not, then you have to decide what you will do differently to limit your exposure to what she's doing, to protect your heart, your finances, the home, and if you have any children, too.
The only thing I would add to that is that you guys need to be in couples counseling, Ivan, until there's some resolution that this isn't just her problem. You've identified that this is also a problem for you, but I think within the relationship, you're going to need some help how to navigate what these next steps are, just like what Alice and Steve have already talked about.
Yep, and you know, you've made the discovery that you're allowing things, trying to please her. Nothing's ever good enough. The bar always is reset. And so if I could encourage you to do anything, it would be to have your own counselor to help you. And then for you guys to, like Becky's saying, get the help from somebody together that somebody's talking about reality. I don't know of any therapist that's going to support her having a harem of males that she gets emotional support from.
Right.
But most any clinician, Christian or not, is going to say, no, we've got to restrict that. We've got to do some things to bring the marriage to a better place, and that's not one of them. Okay, so I'll send you both these books, Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism, and the other one on borderline. And anybody else, we've got some great, great books on the problem that you might be living with. Let me read you a letter real quick from Vicki. It says, your ministry's been a blessing for several years, and while going through the downfall of my 23-year marriage, I had this horrible ordeal, but your program has been a friend, and it's a source of sanity in the midst of all of this chaos. And she wants to thank us for being there. It was her companion when some other folks had turned away. And we want to be that for anybody who's struggling. We want to be there for them. Now, we have some ways that we can use your support. And one is helping people get into workshops or counseling. We can pay for this radio ministry so that when nobody else is around, we're there in the privacy of an automobile. A lot of people, they won't listen to God's truth at a church or any other place, but in their car, they hear truth applied to their lives. And that's why we love being on radio like this and doing podcasts and the other things that we do. We can't do it without your support. If you do support us, we'll send you a gift of any amount. I'll send you 100 Days of Healing. It's a great, great book. It's a devotional book with prayer and great meditation, quotes from folks, and great scripture. If you join Club New Life, I'll send you all four of our 100 Days of Prayer, of Character, of Peace, and Healing. And then, as we're approaching Christmas, you want a gift for a child where they think you're really cool, but it's teaching them about Jesus and the truth from Scripture. That's Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. For a gift of $20 or more, I'll sign it to the child you want to have it. You just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And I'm having a lot of fun addressing these books to these kids. If you want to join us for the next program, it's 1-800-229-3000. If you want to get some help or help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Ask about that marriage intensive.
It's Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.